Now, to our very first guest, I'm delighted to say we're joined on the line by Bridget Laffan, Emeritus Professor of the Robert Schuman Centre at the European University Institute in Florence, one of the leading experts on EU law and indeed international law, originally from Carhartt Sivean. Good morning to you, Bridget. Thank you so much for joining us on the Kerry Today show this morning. I really appreciate you taking time to join us on the show today.
Good morning.
Bridget, what I want to put to you first of all, and why you're coming on, is a couple of things. But first of all, we want to start off about the morality, the rights and wrongs of the Taoiseach going to Washington for St. Patrick's Day. Can I read you something out that Pedro Sanchez, the Prime Minister of Spain, said? Today, more than ever, it is essential to remember that one can be against a hateful regime, as is the case with the Iranian regime, but at the same time be against an unjustified, dangerous military intervention outside of international law. By going to the White House, doesn't it show, is the Taoiseach not implicitly giving support to this war being engaged with by the US and Israel that is indeed against international law?
So I would say no, and I'd say it very strongly in the following sense, that Taoiseach and prime ministers and presidents of countries visit all sorts of countries all the time. And if the standard was that you only visited those countries that never breached international law, you wouldn't be travelling very much. You'd be travelling within safe zones. The access to the White House is an unprecedented day for Ireland in terms of one of the most powerful states in the world, always followed by the lunch on Capitol Hill. It's a day when Ireland is the focus, when both publicly but also privately, an Irish Taoiseach can engage with both the US president, but not just. It's much wider than that. So, and we have to accept that Ireland is the most dependent on the US for its economic well-being than any other EU state. It is that important to us. I would say broadly, if you add corporate tax, the tax paid by those who work for multinationals, all the businesses that are spin-offs from that, all of that, we're probably talking about 50% of the prosperity of the country. And to think that a Taoiseach could ignore the US and breach the Patrick's Day norm, then we wouldn't be invited next year or the year after or whatever. So I would say I understand why people argued the position, but in terms of hard Irish interest, I'm afraid it really does matter. And I also want to point out that Pedro Sanchez is very clear in his position on this and always has been from the very beginning. But also, Spain is one of at the lower end of economic dependence on the US. And so that all, whoever is a prime minister or Taoiseach, has to balance the world as we find it as opposed to the world that we would want.
But when the history is written 20, 30, 40 years from now, can people say that we were on the right side of history? Because what Donald Trump and indeed what Benjamin Netanyahu have done, and setting aside the whole the horrors of Gaza and what has gone on there, acknowledging of course the fact that that was started by the massacre of Israelis, young Israelis on October 7th. But setting aside all that, when you're hearing things about possibly the Americans being implicit in the destruction and killing of girls at a school, and the fact that Donald Trump has completely ignored international law, aren't we going to look back a generation from now and say Ireland wasn't on the right side of history here? We should have been clear and said to America, we are your friend, but what you're doing here is wrong and immoral.
So I would say Ireland is not in any way contributing to the war effort. Ireland is not endorsing this war. It is a war of choice and it is breaking international law. Ireland is not endorsing it. What Micheál Martin has not so far said publicly, and I don't think he will, on certainly until Patrick's Day is over, he won't say that it's a breach of international law, but in that he is joined by many other EU leaders and they're all trying to assess the balance between the relationship with the United States, which regardless of who in the White House matters, and the fact that the present incumbent in the White House is extremely erratic and extremely volatile and also engages in punishment. So whether or not in 100 years' time, I mean, Ireland is not either causing this war, contributing to this war in any way. And again, fully accept what you said about Gaza, but also the regime in Tehran is tyrannous. It killed many, many more people of its own population in January than has been killed in this war. That doesn't justify the war, but we can't shine a light only on the US and Israel. And Iran funded and armed Hezbollah in the Lebanon, Hamas in Gaza, the Houthis in the Gulf, and the Syrians. So it has been the source, which is completely, it breached international law over, you know, as the arc of resistance over 30 years. So I think my view is that you can't shine a light on one without shining the light on the other. For me, the danger of what's happening now is that this won't, in fact, lead to a safer and more peaceful Middle East. Although, interestingly, and this is for the first time ever, the Lebanese Prime Minister has come out and said Hezbollah can no longer be an internal army in our country with disproportionate political influence, and we want peace with Israel. And long term, there has to be some way of, this part of the world has been a constant source of instability and danger and bad government for a lot of the peoples of many countries. There has to be, one has to hope that there's a better future. Now, in my view, the better future for Gaza doesn't come through Trump's board for peace, or, you know, so I'm not in any way exonerating either the US or Israel for their responsibilities. But I think to just focus on them and not more generally on the kinds of regimes that have governed that part of the world is, in my view, just imbalanced. It's unbalanced, I should say.
So things are really murky.
So, well, yes and no, in the sense that the US-Israeli attacks, in my view, breach international law. I don't think anyone would other than those who support this war, who argue that it's a war of necessity and not a war of choice. In my view, it is a war of choice and is extremely dangerous and may lead to bad outcomes. So I think that's not at all murky. But what is more complex is how do we arrive at a situation where there can be peace and prosperity and stability in a region that has been traumatized by wars, uprisings? We had the Arab Springs, if you remember, in 2011. And so what should matter is better governance for everyone in the region. And also, I don't think you will ever have peace unless there is a higher level of security for Israel.
If you
know, as long as Hezbollah started, they didn't have to, but they launched rockets into Israel. And now, unfortunately, the people who are really suffering are the Lebanese, and huge numbers displaced. Now, again, I don't think Israel will get security through a bomb or bombing, but it's so, I just worry that it's, that whole region has become the subject of such polarized views that there's no nuance left.
Bridget, if you were going to the White House and you had the honour to meet President Trump, and you were in Micheál Martin's shoes, what would you do? What would you do when you're handing over the bowl of shamrock? What approach would you take? Or do you think it seems to me you seem to be broadly supportive of the position being taken by the Taoiseach?
I think he has very little choice. Prudent choice. Now, there are those who will argue the morality case that he shouldn't go. And I understand the argument. I just think those who make that argument need then to also accept, if there is a real hit to Irish prosperity in the economy, that they don't blame the Taoiseach. So what would I do? I think when it comes to you get in and out of the public part of the Oval Office as unscathed as you can, because as we know, he can publicly humiliate. So saying something in public is not wise. So in other words, try and get in and out with the least damage. Because I don't think Micheál Martin would regard this as an honour to go to the White House or comfortable. What he wants to do, I suspect, is not damage Irish interests. But then what is said in private is different. And there, the question is, what will he say? What could he say? And how receptive will Trump be? Because as we know, Trump is an extraordinary narcissistic human being who doesn't seem to be open to criticism or capable of engaging in any serious way. So maybe the most important thing is get in, get out, try and use the occasion to send messages. I would say absolutely on Gaza and absolutely on the consequences of the current war. To be silent on those would not be a good idea. You know, given the kind of world Ireland wants, would not be a good idea. But I don't think those who love symbolic politics and big gestures, I think, don't understand the kinds of pressures Micheál Martin is under, given our economic vulnerability to the US, which we must do something about anyway. You know, we've got to rebalance our economy. But when over 34 billion in corporate tax this year will be corporate tax. And that's our hospitals, our teachers, our services, you know. So I would be prudent. I wouldn't be a vassal and rolled over, but nor would I engage in what I consider to be gesture politics, because Ireland is not contributing to this war. Ireland, you know, if you asked him and he was a private citizen, does he approve of the war? I'm sure he'd say no.
Bridget, finally, if I could ask you, and we're speaking to Bridget Laffan, Emeritus Professor of the Robert Schuman Centre at the European University Institute in Florence. Finally, Bridget, if I can ask you, what preparations should Ireland be making as we look to take over the EU presidency in July, given everything, the instability, the war, the violence in the Middle East and the impact it's having on fuel prices, the economy, everything, security?
So the technical preparations for the presidency are well in hand and always have been. We run good technical business-like presidencies, and this is our eighth. So we're good at it. We're good at finding compromise, good at getting people round tables. The big challenge will be securing the presidency. And what do I mean by that? We will have 240 events in the country, many of them involving heads of government. We will have the European political community, which is up to 48 heads of state and government arriving in Ireland. Now, we've got to make sure that we can secure the presidency, because countries won't send their senior people to a country if they feel there's a threat. So the biggest challenge we face is on the security side, because we are purchasing the anti-drones, the radar and whatever, but we will not be able to run a secure presidency without help from other member states, particularly France, I wouldn't be surprised if the French Navy now, on the French Navy, which can complicate things, a lot of its capability has just sailed to the Eastern Mediterranean. And Macron is talking about the Straits of Hormuz and opening that. So we will need help both from the British and the French, probably the Spaniards and the Portuguese, on securing the Atlantic and the Irish Sea. And then we'll need help on securing overhead. And drone technology now is very sophisticated and very cheap. But you could see why those interested in a spectacular might think we're a soft target. Okay. So that is a real and present danger in my view.
Well, let's hope it does not come to pass. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We have been speaking to Professor Emeritus Professor Bridget Laffin of the Robert Schuman Centre at the European University Institute in Florence, and a very proud Cara Zivine and a very, very proud Kerry woman. Thank you so much, Bridget, for your time.